You are listening to The Game Plan on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the Game Plan Podcast on the Oakland Raiders Podcast Network. I'm your host, JT. We get you ready for the Raiders taking on the Cincinnati Bengals this Sunday, December 16th, 10 a.m. Pacific time at Paul Brown Stadium. Raiders are coming off an epic win against the Pittsburgh Steelers last Sunday. We'll get into that before we preview the Bengals. And our guest list is strong once again. Jimmy Durkin joins us from The Athletic in San Francisco. TJ Hushmanzada, former Raider receiver, and he was a great player with the Cincinnati Bengals. He'll check in. The great Lincoln Kennedy, former three-time Pro Bowler for the Silver and Black, and now the radio partner on the Raiders Broadcasting Network with Brett Musburger, and Jason Kabinda, the linebacker out of Penn State who's been playing at a high level. We're going to talk to him a little bit later on in the podcast. There's a lot happening. We're going to get to Reggie McKenzie being relieved of his duties and also a bit on the stadium issues and everything that's happening going forward. But again, it's called the game plan for a reason. We look ahead at the next opponent by beginning with the last game. And what a performance by the Raiders at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I want to start off by patting the Steeler fans on the back. There were a lot of Steeler fans in Oakland. And I don't hide from that. I think that's a great thing. Steeler fans are like Raider fans. They travel. Terrible towels were out. They were tailgating. They put money into the Oakland economy. The airport was packed. And give those fans credit. They came out to root their Steelers on as the Steelers came up short. In that game, another outstanding performance by Derek Carr. And Derek has really been on a roll here the last couple of weeks. He outperformed Ben Roethlisberger, 25 of 34 for 322 yards, two touchdowns in that game. And Jared Cook, once again, seven receptions, 116 yards for one of the premier tight ends in all of football. The game was back and forth. There was so much drama with the Roethlisberger injury, but the Raiders were able to prevail. This was the game-winning touchdown on fourth down.
Derek Carr back into the gun, backs out. Steps up, fire, touchdown Raiders! Carrier! He did go to one of his tight ends! No doubt about it! Yeah, baby! And John Gruden with a big smile on the sideline!
The Coliseum was rocking, the game winner for the Silver and Black, but it wasn't actually over yet. After the kickoff and another hook and ladder. You know, the Patriots got beat, embarrassingly beat, at Miami on a trick play at the end of the game. Would it happen again in Oakland?
Here is Boswell to tie it and send us to overtime. This will be a 40-yarder. He's missed a 37-yarder earlier today. Snap.
He slipped.
The Raiders win it. Can you believe it?
Oh, my.
The Raiders are a winner. Let the celebration begin, baby.
Brett, I've never seen anything like this. What an exciting game.
It was an exciting game. That's Lincoln Kennedy. He'll be joining us here in a little bit. So just the type of win that the Raiders needed at the right time, and it puts the Steelers' playoffs in jeopardy. The Baltimore Ravens, who beat the Raiders earlier this year, are right on the Steelers' tail, and the Steelers got a pretty tough schedule. A lot of complaining by the Steelers afterwards about field condition, Roethlisberger, how it took him to get back into the game, on the field again, whatever. Raiders win the game, and it was an important game, and we love when we can play you a John Gruden victory speech.
There's no quitting in this football team, is there? You love adversity, all right? You love football, you love each other, and you're going to bring the Raiders back. God bless you. Give yourself some hell of a win. What you have done, in spite of me, I congratulate you, Derek. I cannot tip my hat to the offensive line enough.
Yes, sir.
Feliciano, Gabe Jackson, they finished on one leg. All right? I mean, we're light, we're shorthanded in some ways. But we believe in each other. We beat a hell of a football team. You guys could have won a hell of a game last week. Let's just finish strong. Let's stay together. But I can't tell you how proud I am of you,
sir,
and how great the future is going to be. God bless you all. Let's pray.
That was a great locker room after the game. And John Gruden was fantastic at the press conference afterwards. And with 17 players on IR, this team's been banged up. Players are coming and going every week, but they were all ready to play. Personally for me, I'll never forget that game. Franco Harris on the sideline with Phil Villapiano. That was incredible. Reggie Jackson lighting the torch. The iconic Reginald Martinez Jackson lighting the torch to get the crowd going. It had everything. There is nothing like a Raider game in Oakland. The crowd was locked in. Fantastic victory. And now the Raiders march on to take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Earlier this week, Reggie McKenzie was relieved of his duties as general manager. On another personal note, I think the world of Reggie McKenzie, and so does everyone in the Raider organization. The 2016 NFL Executive of the Year, and more importantly, a Raider. He played for the Raiders, once a Raider, always a Raider, and Reggie McKenzie will be part of the Raider family the rest of his life. A lot of changes are coming. We've been talking about that here on the podcast. John Gruden's going to be making a lot of decisions when it comes to the personnel of this team going forward and what they're going to do. But he had a press conference to talk about Reggie McKenzie earlier in the week, wishing him the best.
It's like to wish Reggie McKenzie the best, and he's a good friend of mine. He's always going to be a Raider. We're going to have to rebuild this football team without him, but I will assure the Raider fans that we'll do everything we can to find the right replacement. He left some big shoes to fill, and just want to wish him the best.
Members of the media wanted to ask Coach Gruden about the relationship that he had with Reggie.
I'm not going to sit up here today and talk about any disconnect. We were connected. We are very good friends and very connected. I'll leave it at that.
And that's important because everybody wants to get in the head of John Gruden. Everybody wants to know what he really means. You're not going to know, nor does anybody have the right. You can ask him any question you want. He's John Gruden. He was in the media at the highest level. He knows how to handle the press, and he's not going to give the press any information that's going to hurt the team from within. So it's difficult. It's very difficult. Mark Davis and Reggie McKenzie go back decades. And Reggie was absolutely outstanding for the Silver and Black. The draft of Derek Carr, the draft of Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, the free agents that came in, fixing the team and helping with the cap when he took over so the Raiders could make a run to the playoffs and go 12-4. I will only have great things to say about Reggie McKenzie. He will land another big job. He is respected throughout the league, and we should all wish Reggie McKenzie the absolute best going forward. All right, let's begin with our first guest, Lincoln Kennedy, one of the great Raider offensive linemen of the last 20 years. Now he's in the booth with Brett Musburger on the Raiders Broadcasting Network. Lincoln, thanks a lot for coming on. Greatly appreciate it. Let's start with Reggie McKenzie. When you heard the news about his firing, what did you think?
Wasn't really surprised. I think John Gruden had been slowly but surely putting his own staple on the team since he got the job. And so you can imagine if you're Reggie McKenzie in that position, it's going to be kind of hard to really feel safe, especially when, you know, for the most part, the Raiders did done away with just about every one of his draft choices that he's had in his time there. So it wasn't really surprised. The timing was the most surprising thing. The fact that it happened after a big win against the Steelers, that was the most surprising thing about it.
Yeah, and I'm interested on that, Lincoln, because again, John Gruden has the right to keep that opinion to himself, and obviously Mark Davis. You know, Mike McCarthy was let go earlier to get another job potentially. Reggie is going to make money here on the way out the door here, but he's highly respected throughout the league. I would assume we both agree that he'll land on his feet with another job at this capacity as a GM.
Oh, without a doubt. Undoubtedly so. He will be hired pretty quickly, I think. There's probably being scouted or talked to a number of people as they get ready for the offseason. So I don't think he's going to be long without a job.
Lincoln Kennedy joins us. So going back to the Pittsburgh win 24-21, what impressed you in the booth with Brent Musburger? Was it more of the protection of the offensive line or overall the defense playing really well led by Gerrion Conley?
Well, it was a compliment of all parts. I thought that the offense responded when Pittsburgh scored. And, you know, here's the thing, JT, because, you know, you've been around the team all season. Everyone wants to know, why are the Raiders quitting? Are they trying to better position themselves for a better draft choice? And I've never seen that. And knowing Gruden the way I do and feel comfortable, I could hardly see him going out there to purposely lose a game. With that being said, the fact that this team still fights, they had a decent game against Kansas City. If you minus the three turnovers, it might have been a different outcome. Who knows? but it was what it was. And then, of course, they found a way to rally against the Steelers. And even when Big Ben had the miraculous comeback and coming off of the sidelines after an injury and leading the field, the team down the field, and, of course, the hook and ladder, which I've never seen actually work in a game, but it worked in that game as well as the other game that was out there between New England and Miami. So there's just a lot of strange occurrences, but really impressed with the overall fight that the team showed.
Lincoln, I want to stay with Gerrion Connolly because in pregame warmups, I was watching him closely. And then the game started, and from a sideline perspective, you see Antonio Brown and how he gets off of all types of coverage. They put him in motion, or he'll give a head fake, so if you press him, he can get behind you easily and beat you anywhere on the field. The fundamentals of Connolly and why he's gotten better, because I think he was either in the doghouse early or Gruden and Gunther didn't trust him because coming off the injury last year and being banged up this year through camp, they were waiting, and then when he was healthy, he was not getting snaps and reps. What changed?
Well, I think it was the fact that he proved himself. Here's one of the things I will say about Gerrion Connolly. I think he had a big game against Arizona, coming up with that timely interception and helping the team get their initial score. That was big. He's made big moves to establish himself as a corner. The reason why the Raiders, drafted him number one, he had number one talent. They feel they got him the value when his stock dropped due to the extenuating circumstances that followed him in college. But they believe in him because Ohio State plays a press man. They want to be able to use that. Paul Gunther, I know for sure, had some issues with his tackling early in the season. And if you know anything about Paul Gunther's defense, your corners have got to be able to tackle because there's going to be a lot of times where your safeties are taken away by the way people run the ball these days. So I think Gerrion just went out there and proved himself and showed that his value, he definitely earns a spot on this team. I think that he's having a tremendous season, and it's great for him as well for the Raiders because it's one less hole they have to fill, if you ask me.
Lincoln Kennedy joins us. I think this is a great comment you said about proving yourself. We all know being around the team that the mass majority of these players will not be back, and that's not right. The end of the world. They're going in a different direction, and Connolly is a highly respected draft pick considering what the Raiders did to get him, and now he's proving himself, and Carl Joseph is playing better. What's that like, Lincoln, because you came in as a high draft pick, multiple Pro Bowls, you weren't in that position. What's it like when you know your job's on the line and maybe you got to prove yourself late in the year to a coaching staff?
I think as an athlete, as a competitor, it makes you feel better about yourself because here's the thing. You can either do it or you can't. You can either sink or swim. And when someone gives you an opportunity to go out there and prove your value, prove your worth, or prove that you belong, you want to take it for what it's worth. Athletes are constantly told they can't do something. Oh, you're not big enough, you're not fast enough, you're not strong enough, you're too big, you're too small, whatever it is, and they've had to overcome adversity. Sometimes when you're drafted high, it doesn't automatically anoint you to a star position, especially when you come in the National Football League. There are a lot of people that look down their nose at a higher draft choice because, you have everything provided for you. You haven't earned it. So the fact that Gerrion's going out there and earning it and showing his value after the times that he had with the injury ever since he's been drafted out of Ohio State is proven well to his character that he really wants to be a part and wants to be a good player.
Lincoln, from your view in the booth, what's changed with the offense attacking more downfield? At times, Derek throws underneath, high completion percentage, not a lot of interceptions, but the last month, he has been attacking more downfield. Has it been more about protection, scheme, and Gruden giving him more of the playbook?
It's a combination of all of them. Most of it has been scheme. If you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers game in particular, he looked out when he saw one-on-one coverage of Jared Cook, whether it was a linebacker or undersized safety, he was going to him automatically. Now, the Raiders really don't have the means to stretch the field, but they have been trying to take shots with Marcel Aitman and stuff like that, and obviously getting Jordy in more of a possession-style receiver roles. There have been some times where they try to kind of do a little bit too much with Jordy, in my opinion. I mean, try to run a reverse with Jordy Nelson. No offense, but Jordy's not running away from anybody. It is what it is. But they don't really have the means to truly stretch the field as they once did. So they're trying to do scheme-wise, and more importantly, for what it's worth, I understand why Derek has thrown the underneath the drop-offs. He's been hit a lot. He's been sacked a lot, and there are times where he's a little skittish. I do still think he's overthinking a lot of things in this offense and would like for them to be cut down. But I'm really impressed with his decision-making, especially this past week. The only one that came into question was when he nearly threw the interception after, I think it was Aitman who slipped down.
As you're preparing for the Bengals throughout the week, Dunlap has 8 sacks. Geno Atkins is someone that Gruden's been talking about. It's amazing. He's been talking about him for years as a broadcaster, and that's what he does leading up to these games. He picks the best players, and he praises them. He did that with Antonio Brown last week, so I'm assuming going into this game, it's all about protection and keeping Carr upright again.
No doubt about it. And they've used times as max protection. But here's the thing. You got to be mindful of it, and you got to do something. You got to do something to stretch the field, as you mentioned, because here's the thing. Kansas City sat on the short routes. And there were times where even though they were playing press man, there weren't big windows to throw in. So even though the team did have some success scoring the ball, they got to be mindful. I would expect Cincinnati to do the same thing. When you have a defensive tackle and a defensive end as disruptive as they are that you mentioned, it can be chaotic for it to have max protection. You have to slide a little bit more. You have to put more pressure on your tight ends and your backs to pick up the ends. But, you know, Kansas City. Cincinnati is short on weapons. I'm hoping that the team gets the confidence by maybe getting their second win in a row.
Lincoln, let's talk about you for a second. I've known you for years as a broadcaster now, not only a former player. You make the transition from the sideline on the broadcast with Greg Pop and Tom Flores, now working with Brett Musburger in the booth. What has that been like for you, finding a rhythm, finding chemistry, and especially not being on the sidelines and picking up the plays in the booth?
Absolutely surreal. I mean, I'm so used to being down around the action like you and I were, you know, when we first started working together. It's weird. And besides, I'm sitting next to a legend. I'm working with a legend. Every time I hear his voice or have a conversation with him over the air, I think back to all the great days of CBS Sports growing up with him and all the great ones back when, you know, we were kids watching him. And now the fact that I'm doing a game, I'm calling a game with him. So I would like it for it to have been happier times, but it's a wonderful experience. The chemistry is still brewing. It's still growing. It's going to take some time. You know, it's all about reps. You got to get reps when you're with a partner.
When you're with Silver and Black Productions and you're doing breakdowns in studio during the week, the chemistry in the building, this has been a rough year on a lot of people behind the scenes because a lot of change from the Mac move, Amari Cooper, now Reggie McKenzie, all with a vision of what Mark Davis and John Gruden want to do long term. You have a front row seat to this on the plane, on the ground, on the road when you go there. Talk about what it's been like when you're interacting with fans, reminding them what the ultimate goal is.
It's a lot of uncertainty. Here's the thing, because you never know what you're going to get. Yes, the Raiders do have 5 number one draft choices in the next 2 drafts. But we also see number ones be bust. And we also see you get it wrong. The fact is, in my opinion, you know, you traded away a future Hall of Famer in Khalil Mack. I understand why you gave away Amari Cooper. I do understand. You got a first-round pick that made sense. More importantly, at the time, Amari Cooper did not have, in my opinion, was not earning franchise-style money, the Julio Jones and all that big-time money. So you gave him to Dallas. That's fine, and now he's having a tremendous year. I wish Amari Cooper nothing but the utmost happiness and success. He seems to be happier down in Dallas than he was here in Oakland. But with that being said, there's a lot of uncertainty. This team is moving to Vegas. We all know that's coming. Right now they are the Oakland Raiders. John had talked about the possibility of bringing a championship to the city of Oakland. Now you're in rebuilding mode. Who knows when that's going to take over? The fans, the personnel, a lot of people, including myself, are unsure of what's going to happen because you just have to see it. You have to trust in it that it's going to happen. You have to trust that they make good decisions with their draft choices and that these are competitors and they're able to add or cover up the holes. You know, the fact is that, you know, guys like Brandon Parker, the right tackle, he never played against top-tier talent, and that's what he's having to do. He's learning by fire. Unfortunately, you have to wonder how many hits Derek can take before, you know, something bad happens. You don't wish anybody injuries, but this is just the facts that we're dealing with. So to answer your question, there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of unsurety. You just have to trust and hope that, you know, Gruden and Mark Davis are going to be able to get it right.
Last question, the professionalism of the players who many know they won't be back next year, the game against Kansas City, the effort outscoring them 17-7 at home in the fourth, and then to put away the Pittsburgh Steelers really goes to show you when people are chirping, and a lot of times it's fans and it's aggressive members of the media talking about quitting and not playing with heart. You played this game. You put your life on the line every time you came out of a tunnel in any stadium. These players want to win every game. They got a lot to compete for.
Absolutely. There's a level of pride. and that competitive spirit. And when you put on the silver and black, especially when you go out in front of that home crowd, in front of the nation, you're out there going to give your effort. And I've seen that. I've seen very few guys give little effort out there on the football field. And pretty much if they were, they're probably not even along with the team. The fact is that this roster has been turned over so many times over this past season. You got guys who are getting an opportunity to play. And like Gruden said, there's probably people out there who want to be a part of the Raiders. They want an opportunity, so they're taking full advantage of it.
Lincoln, have a great holiday with your family. You're the best. I always appreciate your time.
Anytime, JT. Love you, brother, and happy holidays to you and yours.
So you'll always catch Lincoln Kennedy on the broadcast, and also check out the great work he does at Silver and Black Productions at Raiders.com. Now I get a chance to talk to a guy I've been waiting on the last couple of weeks, Jason Kubenda. I always hear Coach Gruden talking about him after practice and after games. The linebacker out of Penn State joins us on the game plan. Jason, let's begin. Tell us about how much fun you're having with this journey.
Man, it's been special, man. I couldn't be more appreciative of the opportunity I'm being given right now. Just trying to run with it, man. I'm having fun out there every day. Getting better with these guys. I mean, I got great teammates, guys who are mentoring me, keeping me straight, all that stuff. So, I mean, I'm having a blast right now.
The issue with linebacker for the Raiders for quite some time has been sideline-to-sideline speed and the ability to consistently tackle. What are you doing every day at practice with Paul Gunther and your position coaches to get better as a tackler?
Yeah, I think for me, linebacker starts with your eyes. You know, being able to recognize plays, being able to diagnose things and react. So, for me, I want to make sure I see things. I'm seeing my keys correctly, so I'm not taking any false footwork, and I'm not a step behind, And sometimes on sideline plays, it's that, that false step that you took, or, that step you took to the left when the play was going to the right, Those are the things that can separate a really good linebacker.
I love the fact that you mentioned that because I wanted to ask you about misdirection plays. You see that now. You're new to the league. Kansas City's the king of misdirection. They start a play one way. They try to get you moving there, and then, boom, they come back the other way. Are you learning more about that in the NFL on the speed level and how these plays start and then the misdirection takes it the other way?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, one of the best things I'm really thankful for is, I saw a lot of these offensive plays in college. I think you're seeing nowadays – more and more, the college offenses are starting to, get into the league a lot more and more. So a lot of these plays are plays I've seen before. And obviously, with the speed, and that's really the difference in the NFL is it's the speed. You got a lot faster guy, you got a stronger, faster, bigger, all those things. So I think that's kind of been my biggest advantage is the fact that, a lot of these plays are some of these college-style offenses that I've played against in college.
Jason Kubenda's our guest. How tough was it undrafted, then waiver wire, then coming back, practice squad? Because you're mentally strong coming out of linebacker U. You can handle this type of adversity. Now you get your shot. How grateful are you for this opportunity now?
I mean, I couldn't thank God enough. I've always been, talking to my mom, and my mom's always been in my ear to, keep grinding, keep working. That's really always been my motto, Good things happen to people who work. So for me, it's about putting my head down and continuing to grind every day and show these people that, I can play.
Hey,
I'm really thankful.
Hey, football's changed your life. I see born in Buena Park, then to New Jersey for high school football, Penn State, and now back to Oakland. Tell us about your early years as a kid when you realized you had the ability to play at a high level in high school and maybe a shot to play at Penn State.
Yeah, I probably didn't realize I could play at a high level probably till my sophomore year of high school. And growing up, I think fifth grade is when I started playing, and back then I was short and I was stubby and I was fat, man. I was playing up like three levels. I was in fifth grade playing up with the eighth graders because I didn't make the weight. It took me some time to get into shape and get right. And once high school came around and my body started maturing, sophomore year is when I really took the weight room and making sure I'm at every single workout, all those things really serious. And I think that's kind of when I took off. Junior year, I exploded. I had like 24 touchdowns a year as a running back. And that's when I started getting, bigger college looks. And then my senior year, I kind of really put it together and started playing defense a bit as well. And that's when, Penn State came around. I was able to get that offer. And the rest is kind of history.
What's it like when you break the huddle at Penn State in the middle of a whiteout and you look around at the enormity of that crowd? How intense was that playing those home games?
I'll tell you what, man, there's nothing like it. There's no doubt about that, man. There's nothing like it. That is one hell of an environment. I miss playing there in Beaver Stadium, man. 110,000 people screaming their heads off. And I think the best part about that environment is, know, our college fans come to be the show. You know, they come to the game because they're saying, look at me, you know, look at us, look at us show up. And I think that's what I love so much about our crowd. It's so hostile, such a hard place to play in. So, I mean, big, big home field advantage when you're playing in Beaver Stadium.
Finally, as a linebacker, and you look at Matt Millen, Matt Millen's one of the greatest linebackers in the history of Penn State, and with the Raiders, with his four Super Bowls, what he did as a Raider, he's waiting on a heart. He's in a really tough spot here. What message do you have as one of his Penn State brothers for Matt Millen?
I mean, for me, you know, Matt Millen obviously has been quite the role model, obviously, you know, on the field. But, I mean, he's just such a great dude. And I was able to see him during training camp. You know, he spent a few days with us, and I was able to talk to him. So, you know, obviously, all my prayers are going towards him, you know, hoping that he gets his heart transplant and you know, is okay, man. Matt is a great guy, great example of a Penn State guy who's been around and been able to share his knowledge with a bunch of people. So I'm really appreciative of Matt and him being able to come talk to him, you know, me and Sai during training camp and stuff.
Hey, last one. They just told me in my ear you speak French. So have you been to Paris?
No, I haven't. I really do want to go this off season, though.
I just got back. You will
really.
You will
it.
Be blown away. It's beyond incredible. Awesome. Hey, thanks a lot for doing this. I appreciate it. I'll see you out on the field.
Absolutely, man. Have a good one. Appreciate it.
Really cool to catch up with Jason Kabinda. I think he's the type of player that the Raiders need to get better and better if he's going to be here long term with all of his athletic skills. Now we move on to one of the great wide receivers of his era, former Pro Bowler T.J. Hushmanzada joins us on the game plan. He also played for the Silver and Black and had a great run with the Cincinnati Bengals. T.J., let's begin first from a Bengals perspective. They've lost five in a row. As you take a look at them on film, why are they struggling so much?
Number one, they can't stop anybody from moving the ball down the field. Defensively, they seem to be limited, and that's odd because they have really good players at every level. Why they haven't gelled is beyond me. Offensively, AJ's been hurt for the better part of two seasons now, and Andy Dalton hasn't been able to get that team over the hump. They just can't seem to win the big game that gets them over the hump. They started off really well, and then they kind of faltered here the last 4 to 5 weeks.
Considering what Baltimore's doing with the quarterback change with Lamar Jackson, Joe Flacco ready to go, but they're going to stick with the young player now because he's more dynamic, is that something that we should expect from the Bengals moving forward with the draft pick or going in another direction at quarterback?
Well, you know, with Baltimore, it's easy to stick with Lamar Jackson. When you have the type of defense that the Ravens have,
right?
They cover up a lot. And so like, Lamar Jackson is playing well. But if he was playing with Cincinnati's defense, he would probably be 0-4 as a starter. And so you got to put things in perspective that the Ravens, their defense is just performing at a very, very high level. And Lamar Jackson he's playing well, but he's not playing well enough to win without a great defense.
TJ, you nailed it with Cincinnati, 32nd in the league when it comes to defense overall, giving up 30 points a game and almost 150 yards on the ground, but giving up all that passing yardage too. And Paul Gunther, as you know, is now with the Raiders, and Marvin with his background defensively. Is this more of scheme because they got Dunlop and Geno up front and those guys can rush the passer? Is it more on the back end, or do they need a complete overhaul when it comes to the draft and what they want to do in free agency on defense?
Man, it's crazy. I mean, you just said it. You got Dunlap, Atkins up front. You have Burfict and a decent set of linebackers. But then you look at their secondary. They got J.C. Bates, who was second-round pick this year. He's played well. You got Denard, who was a first-round pick from Michigan State. You got Jackson, who was a first-round pick from Houston. You got Drake Kirkpatrick, who was a first-round pick from Alabama. You go through their entire secondary. They're all first-round or second-round picks. You got Geno Atkins and Dunlap up front. You say, why are they not playing better defensively? Well, Paulie G was it. He was a Cincy when I was there. And he worked his way up, learned under Mike Zimmer, and really did a great job with the Bengals. For whatever reason, there's overhaul. I don't even think you can overhaul a defense in today's NFL. You just got to tweak the scheme and add a player here and there and hope everybody buys in. And it's so cliche. Just do your job, man. Don't try to do my job. Do your job, and then the next guy does his job, and we can have a good team defensively.
TJ Hushmanzada joins us, and I know with what the Brown family meant to you and what they still do, so I don't want to overstep my ground here, but what do you think is going to happen with Marvin? Because most organizations would have moved on from a coach, even though he's a good coach and he's won in the past, but not getting over the hump. What type of hot seat is he on year to year, and how he's able to secure that job and continue on? There's got to be a lot of pressure in Cincinnati.
Yeah, anybody that knows me, man, it doesn't matter what it is. I can't help myself. I guess it's a good thing and a bad thing. I'm going to always be honest and speak my mind. That's all I know. With that being said, it helps to examine the Bengals before Marvin got there. And I was there 2 years prior to Marvin, Coach Lewis. Dude, when I tell you, like, okay, going to the Raiders. When I went to the Raiders, I heard how bad it was. When I got to the Raiders, it wasn't nowhere near as bad as everybody had made me believe watching TV. Like, my last year playing in Oakland, I was like, dude, it's not bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but you hear how bad it is. When I got to Cincy, I didn't know anything else. But when Marvin got there and everything changed, and you're like, oh, my goodness. We really had it bad. Just the culture that he had to change and the mindset, and that takes time. So people say, oh, Marvin Lewis has been with the Bengals for 16 years. Well, the first five or six was really just changing the culture and the mindset of the guys that had been there, like myself. Is he on a hot seat? I think every coach is on a hot seat. When you don't win, you get paid to win and lose. That's it. You get paid to win. You don't get paid to lose games. They pay you to win games. I think he's on a hot seat. But, again, the players have to play. Coaching is a big part in the NFL. But, ultimately, your players have to play.
As an analyst now, you know John Gruden's not on the hot seat because of his long-term deal. The moves from Mac, Amari Cooper, Reggie McKenzie let go earlier in the week. It's simple to me because you're on all these television shows on Fox Sports 1. Either you believe that Gruden has a vision long-term of a culture move and what he wants to do with the Raiders and build the team in his way, or he's making a lot of choices and taking chances. Where do you stand on all the moves with the Raiders this year?
Well, I do believe he has a vision. Now, the question is, do I believe that his vision is going to work? Obviously, he has a vision. Obviously, he has a plan of what he would like the Raiders to be and what they're going to be now. Well, that if you just look at it, dude, Reggie McKenzie did a fantastic – I mean, you put fantastic in bold caps, all caps. He did a fantastic job with the Raiders. When you go into every draft, your goal is to draft a starter. And then Reggie McKenzie not only drafts David Carr, Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper, he drafted a Hall of Famer in Khalil Mack. He drafted one of the top 10 receivers in the league in Amari Cooper, who's still only 24 years old. And then you get rid of him. It's almost, to me, it's so mind-boggling that you do those things. But again, John Gruden has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
He has a vision. Whether I believe that vision and plan is going to work, it doesn't matter what I believe, because in about 4 to 5 years, we'll all see whether right. Coach Gruden was right or wrong.
Well, you're a guy who speaks his mind, and the reason I bring this up to all my guests on this platform is there's a difference now, and you were in the league and made money and played at a high level. It's the question of paying supermax deals. They wanted Mac. They would have paid Mac. But they weren't going to pay him $90 million, $60 million to sign. And with Cooper, he has the same agent as Mac, and he would probably demand and hold out and want a super max deal, not just a deal that the Raiders could work with in Oakland as they're moving to Vegas. So as a former player, when you see some of these contracts, isn't there a difference between paying the guy the max you can pay him or to get a market deal like you got in Cincinnati? I'm sure you didn't hold the Brown family hostage for a super max deal for arguably more than you were worth.
It was a different day and age when I played. I mean, guys were getting paid good money, but it's almost like Khalil Mack looked at it from this perspective. He saw the amount of money that Von Miller had received. And his thinking is, I have to at least come close or eclipse this. I have to. When you are one of the better players at your position, you have to, how they say, strike when it's hot. You have to get what you deserve, because that was his first big deal. After that first big deal, you can say, okay, now we can work together, and I can work with you and take a quote-unquote discount. The Raiders are going to draft a defensive lineman, mm-hmm, or a defensive end, and they hope and pray that he's just as good as Khalil Mack. And you had Khalil Mack. Not only was he a great player, he's a good person off the field. You don't have to worry about him Friday night. You don't have to worry about what he's doing during the week. And so you had a good leader that the young guys could learn from. That's what a lot of coaches don't realize as well, is when you got a veteran that's a young veteran, but a veteran that can teach younger guys how to carry themselves. Coaches don't realize. I got to Cincinnati. We had our vets were – we had to learn on our own. And I don't think coaches realize having guys that have kind of been through the fire and teach the young guys what to do and what not to do, how to navigate through the NFL and through life, it really matters. It helps these kids a lot. So I hope it works for the Raiders, man. But there's no way I'm getting rid of Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. There's just no way. They've done it. But again, Coach Gruden has been around football longer than I have. And, again, he has a plan. And in 4 or 5 years, we'll all see.
TJ, as we wrap this up, I'm based in Vegas, and my sons play high school football for Bishop Gorman. And with your track record with Long Beach Poly as an offensive coordinator, as a wide receiver coach when you were there, I want to spend a moment talking about the image now of high school football, because the Raiders are really involved in the community, especially in the Bay Area, trying to build a foundation for young youth football. Marshawn Lynch, as you know, is involved in Oakland in the community. Tell me about your passion for high school football when there is negative media coverage talking about concussions and moms and dads saying, I don't want my kids to play at that level. How do you deal with this as you're coaching some young kids at a high level?
Well, good luck to your kids. They must be some studs if they're at Bishop Gorman.
They're just backups who are enjoying the time and having a lot of fun. They're not at your level back in the day, but they're having a great time. Thank you.
So when I was coaching at Poly, man, I did it because I wanted to help the kids. I didn't get paid to do it. I didn't want to get paid to do it. It was just me more so just helping the kids and that type of environment that I came from. It's like prime example. We had a kid one time in practice, and we're doing like a live session in practice, and he led with his helmet. And I said, dude, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? Pick your head up, wrap him up with your hand, with your arms. Do not lead with your, I said, if you can't see what you're hitting, then it's wrong. Do not hit like that. And if that's taught to these kids at a young age, then as they advance to college and possibly to professional football, then the concussion act, obviously you're going to have concussions because it's a high-impact sport. But if they're taught the right way, you can limit the amount of high-force collisions with the helmet being involved as much as possible. But for me, I enjoy it. Just to interact with the kids, just to try to teach them things that I've learned, not only physically, but mentally, and then outside of football, giving them advice on how to navigate just through school and dealing with young women and just dealing with life in general. I enjoy that part of it. I feel like it's a duty that I should do, because coming from where I come from, I shouldn't have played in the NFL. And so that was the way of the Lord. Give me a blessing, and so I got to return that blessing to the youngsters coming up behind me.
Awesome. Can you please end with an Al Davis story? I know of his passing in October of 2011 when you came into the team around that time, from maybe a Mr. Davis story before he passed away when you were a younger player, or how you ended up as a Raider, especially at that time where there was a lot going on behind the scenes in the organization.
I mean, for me, when you think of the Raiders, you think of Al Davis in the black sweatsuit with his shades on and just commitment to excellence. Everybody wants to play, you know, go play in the Raiders stadium. Just the fans, I never forget the guy with the shoulder pads. With
the Violator. The Violator, yes.
Everybody knows who that guy. I don't know him, but you know who he is just from seeing him on TV. And so it's an iconic stadium. Everybody looks for you. You just want to feel what the aura is about to play in Raider Stadium. And, man, the Raiders, I got three or four guys that I've grew up with since elementary. Oh, my God, these dudes are diehard Raider fans. And every week I give them a hard time. Every week, this week I didn't text them because they beat the Steelers. I left it alone. But I give them a hard time every week. It doesn't matter. He's a diehard Raider fan. They can trade whoever they trade. He's still going to love the Raiders. And that's a tribute to what Al has done. He's made the Raiders pretty much a worldwide name.
You can catch TJ Houshmandzadeh on Fox Sports 1. He's one of their up-and-coming NFL analysts. Let's wrap up the game plan with Jimmy Durkin, who joins us from The Athletic San Francisco. He's their managing editor and also the host of the State of the Nation podcast. Jimmy, first off, I got to get to the big breaking news story this week. Reggie McKenzie being relieved of his duties as general manager. Your opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, not really surprising. I mean, I think, you know, those guys personally seem to like each other and wanted to give it a shot here. But as you could kind of see the season going along, and as you could see John Gruden's frustration with some of the draft picks over the last few years, you figured at some point this would eventually happen. And, you know, I think you look at Reggie's tenure here, and he certainly has to get credit for a lot of things, including cleaning up the salary cap and kind of getting this team, you know, in position to contend. Obviously helped get him into the playoffs in 2016 and, you know, deservedly earned that NFL Executive of the Year award. But the draft had been a struggle outside of that great draft of 2014. You know, they missed on several high rounders. You know, the second round really was a struggle for them for quite a while. And, you know, because of that, it seemed like it was probably time for them to make a change. And you look at John Gruden and what he'll do next, and you kind of hope that he's able to find somebody that he can bring in there and can really maybe challenge him at times, but also, you know, somebody he can work well with, and you hope that can position this team to take advantage of all this draft capital that they've accumulated over the last year.
Yeah, and we know that John Gruden's all in on personnel now, period. That's why he came back, and he has the right to have that control, and he's going to do what he has to with it. And it's going to be important from a scouting process that he has those type of scouts who are possibly younger, very connected with college football, with all the draft picks upcoming. These have got to be scouts who are on the ground now who know college football as good as anybody else because they got to hit on all those picks.
Yeah, and absolutely. You need somebody, too, that has your same exact philosophy. I mean, if you're the guy that is going to be making the ultimate call, you need guys working for you that you believe in that are going to do things exactly the way you want it. And nothing's more important right now for this franchise than studying all these draft picks and nailing them. I mean, they've got, you know, obviously we know that they've got five first-round picks the next couple of years, and you look at those picks, and really you need to hit on just about all of them. You need to get a couple of star players. You need probably all of them to be starters, and that's going to be the way you're going to rebuild this franchise. And so, getting a nice personnel group that can go out and give you the reports that you want it and are going to find players that fit in with your mold and are going to be able to do exactly what you want, it's hugely important. And really this next step for the Raider franchise is going to be very important to determine really if John Gruden and this team can turn it around.
Jimmy Durkin's our guest from The Athletic. I thought it was great to see the team play hard, and they're paid to do that, so no moral victories against Kansas City. That was a really entertaining game. And then to beat Ben Roethlisberger again and put the Steelers' playoff life in potential jeopardy, that was an emotional day last Sunday at the Coliseum, and credit the Steeler fans. They came out in full force.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it was, whenever there was a big Steelers moment, to see all those terrible towels, it was a little startling. But, I mean, a fun day if you're a Raiders fan to be able to go out and see your team get a win. And like you said, the last 2 weeks have really been encouraging that this team, it would have been really easy where the position they were in, everything that had gone on all year, for them to just kind of go in the tank and just let this season kind of play out. But they haven't done that. And you see Derek Carr on the offense is really starting to come together. And, I mean, he's got eight straight games games without a pick. He's playing his best football of the year. And the defense, to me, that was the best, most encouraging sign. Yeah, there was the last two drives where the Steelers were able to move it pretty easily. But up until that point, I think the Steelers had only averaged about 4.1 yards per play. And so if you can start seeing some positive signs at the end of this year and you know, get a fun day, get a fun win over a Steelers team, it's fun for the fans, but it's good for the team, the guys that are going to be sticking around here to start building some positive energy.
I really enjoyed the column at The Athletic. Raiders film room are Garian Connolly and Derek Carr possible cornerstones of a franchise revival. And for Connolly, it's been really interesting to me because he was hurt initially and then he comes back. And I thought he was kind of in the doghouse because when he was healthy, he wasn't playing at all, wasn't getting any snaps. And now over the last month, he's been a pure shutdown corner. And I don't think you can let go of a guy like that when he's playing at this level, even though John Gruden didn't bring him in and he was a Reggie draft pick. What do you think is going to happen with Connolly?
Yeah, I mean, and there were certainly times where it seemed like Garion was fairly unhappy here, and that he was a guy that was going to be on the trade market, and you might be moving on from him. But now, I mean, he looks like a guy that, you know, was deserving of that first round pick, and that's what they need. They need guys that they have drafted early in recent years and have kind of underperformed. They need those guys to start stepping up and playing well. You're seeing Carl Joseph kind of emerge a little bit more, but yeah, I mean, Garion Connolly looks like now that he's a guy that you want to build around. And you know, when you look at, they still have a guy like Daryl Worley who's very young as well. They might have the makings of two corners that they can build around. They're still going to need to add a lot more talent in that secondary, but if you can look at your roster right now and say, I think we might have our number one corner, that's very encouraging.
With Derek Carr at quarterback, I think this rebuild can happen quickly. Where do you stand on Carr?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're seeing out of Carr right now is the most encouraging thing of the year. I mean, from really probably the third or fourth week on when we knew the season was going to go a little bit sideways, you know, my opinion always was the most important thing this season is making sure that Derek Carr gets on page with John Gruden's offense, and that's what we're seeing right now. So I think, you know, you never know what Gruden will do, but I think you've seen enough from him that you can commit to Derek Carr as your quarterback for the future, and you can start building around him. And with all that draft capital, you can give him, you know, kind of rebuild his weapons. And yeah, I think this, that they can, you know, I don't know that they'll be competing for a playoff spot next year, but I think they can get this rebuild done semi-quickly, you know, get a decent foundation in the next couple of years, and maybe by the time they get to Vegas, they're ready to be a contender. But the nice thing is that we are seeing Derek Carr play like the quarterback that we saw back in 2016, and that's a positive sign for the future.
Jimmy, I really respect your work. Thanks for making time for us. I greatly appreciate it.
All right, thanks, JT.
Remember, you can check out Jimmy Durkin and all of his great work with his staff at The Athletic San Francisco. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of The Game Plan. Next week, we'll get you ready for Monday Night Football on Christmas Eve in Oakland as the Denver Broncos come to town. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to The Game Plan on the official Raiders Podcast Network.